And so I asked Sean to come up and just, we're going to do this thing together. And we're not sure where it's going. He doesn't even know what questions I want to ask. But how many of you have, it's all over the Christian news. It's all over books. It's everywhere. The word kingdom. Many, there you go. Oh, I know. How many of you have heard that word more than normal? Nobody? All right. Well, if you hadn't, you're going to hear it more and more. It's a word we don't use a lot around here, but we believe in it. This is the thing. It's become almost a fad in Christianity. You know how things everybody's talking about. And I've noticed some percentage, not the majority, of Christians are saying it, and I'm listening to them, even, you know, some friends around this region. I go, you don't even know what that word means. You're just, it's the word to say. And they're doing it to their level of knowledge. So I was like, all right, let's just have a mini teaching session. Not that I'm right, but at least I've got an opinion, so I'll share it. You take it before the Lord, or we got an opinion. So I'm going to ask you, how would you define the word kingdom?
I mean, he had to lead with that. Okay.
And then you can throw a question back at me.
And the reason he kind of targeted me, so to speak, for this is because I've talked to Craig a lot about it, exploring it. Okay. How would I define the word kingdom? When I began to there's a difference between studying about it online and calling it research and pressing into God and asking Him to help us unpack this. And it starts in Genesis chapter 1, believe it or not, even though you don't see the word kingdom in there. God had just created Adam and Eve, and there were three commands that He gave that still stand up today, and it is this. He said, Adam, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue. Okay? There wasn't per se a plan B. Okay? Adam sinned. We goofed up. God had to step in with plan B. No, God saved the plan through Jesus. So the original mandate, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue. Well, what does that mean? And how many have heard, maybe taught from the pulpit or from a teaching, that you automatically equated be fruitful with have babies? Okay. As near as my understanding is, that's not necessarily what that means. It means, Adam, be productive. Be productive. Fill the earth. So be productive, be fruitful, multiply. The first command, be fruitful. You have a life that I have given you. And when Jesus talked about that life in the parable of the three servants, one got one talent, the second one got five, and the third one got ten. Well, you know the story. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like this. And He was saying, in essence, He said, He'll say to me, Sean, what did you do with the life that I gave you? I want a return on my investment in you. Right? So be fruitful, be productive with the gifts, the skills, the talents, the abilities. I've heard some motivational speakers say, how many books have died that were supposed to be written? How many songs have died? How many inventions that were supposed to be invented by a spirit-filled Christian that would change the course of humanity have died because you didn't pursue it? Because it was a God-inspired idea. Be fruitful. Number two, multiply. That means to replenish the earth. Now, Adam had his context in the garden. God gave him work as a blessing, not as a curse, right? And He says, so replenish. When you come up with that new idea, figure out how to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, how to replenish the earth with that idea. And the third command is man's favorite command, subdue. If someone asked Bill Gates, They asked him one time, what's your goal with Microsoft? He said to dominate the market. That through a God filter is a God desire, right? We are to subdue this earth. But there are many men, maybe some ladies, but this kind of leans itself towards the masculine side. They want to go to subdue first. Come in, take over. That's not how God takes over. Be fruitful, multiply, and when you do that, the world will let you subdue them. Does that make sense? I'm not talking by force. I'm talking about there is a God light and a God product in you that they will want. Now, if this tweaks the conscience a little bit because it sounds a little businessy, you're right. We've got to, the most learning I've ever done is having to unlearn some bad truths, right? God wants business too. He wants media. He wants all of it. But what is your part, Adam? You know, that's the long answer. And that's just the start as what I've experienced and what I've understood in my life. I don't have all the answers in it. I'll stop right there.
Let me throw out a short definition for you to think about. The kingdom, it's in the word. It's to always follow the kingdom and bring what he has given me and his principles into the domain around me. Kingdom, short for domain. What's that?
Dominate.
Yeah. In the 70s, those of you that are old enough, there was a big, huge movement to define, make Jesus Lord. Those of you that are older may remember that, not just Savior, make Him Lord. In many ways, they were saying the same thing, make Him Lord. I think one way it differs now is we're saying make Him Lord in all areas of your life, not just personally. Let me ask you one last question, and we'll pick it up again another time. If you really believe that the kingdom, what I just said, what you just said, how does it affect your view? I haven't asked him this ahead of time, so. How does that affect your view of the future?
It's victorious. It's a future of hope and a bright future. It's changed. Another controversial word, so heads up. It's changed my eschatology.
And what's that?
It's the study of end times. How is this great play of life going to come to a close?
Mm-hmm.
There's a segment of the population that sees it as the world's getting more sinister and darker and demonic. But there are people who have eyes to see and ears to hear that have seen the church rising up brighter and shining more. Right? The king's domain, the future. The reason I'm so passionate about the subject, not mastered it, passionate about the subject, is because it was the central theme of Jesus' ministry. The first thing he said publicly after being, so to speak, incognito for 30 years and training in his father's business was repent. Change the way you're thinking. The kingdom of heaven is here. And he would, all of his parables, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. It was a big deal. And it's been my experience, and I've done this in my own walk. I've shrunk back. You remember the servant that buried his one talent? He had just one talent. It was valuable. And he came back and he said, I just hid it because I knew you were a harsh man. And Jesus just looked at him and said, you could have at least put it in the bank and earned interest. And he called him this. And this is harsh words, but hear the spirit of this. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. You could have at least put it in the bank and earned interest. There's some courage that you have to have. You got to put yourself out there. and fall flat on your face. And you will fall flat on your face. But what you do is you get around a good church like this where they pick you up, help you dust off. It says, okay, let's refine. Let's see how this works. All those businesses that a large segment of the population are poo-pooing on right now, oh, those multi-billionaires. Did you know that they're incorporating kingdom principles, and that's why they're dominating markets? They're being punished for being successful. Did you know in the beginning, Toyota, the largest automaker in the world, every single one of the cars they created had something to do with the word crown? Corona means crown. Corolla, there was another word in their car description. They were all meant with kingdom, and look at them today. See, God's laws apply to everyone. His spiritual laws apply to everyone, saved and unsaved. Because God can't deny his own law and who he is. An unsaved pagan can sow generously into a ministry and reap the rewards. That might mess with your worldview. Will it bring him any reward at the end of his life when he has not known God? Of course not. But I had a neighbor one time regarding those laws that, I mean, he just lived like, you know what, he did not care. But a family down the street, they got broken into during Christmas and it stole all their Christmas presents. And my neighbor, he had a work crew. He says, go down there, fix their door, fix all their living room. And then he went down there and gave them, I don't know how much money. He said, you get those kids Christmas. A week later, he got a check from an uncle he didn't know, aunt he didn't know he had, for $100,000. Living a sinful life. But we don't want to get weird or appear to be greedy, so we shrink back. The king's domain. And you represent the kingdom of God. Every time Kelly makes a guitar, it's an expression of the kingdom. You think about it that way. So.
Amen. Well, that's good. We'll pick it up again some other time.
Yep.
Thank you, Sean. But that word's everywhere. It's going to grow because it's more than just salvation. It's even more than learning to be a disciple. It's learning to take his principles and what he's given us and our gifts and apply it to our entire domain. And so it's going to look different for each person.